nicer weekend to bring you a Koshcast. There's League Cup final drama to comb over, a City wrestle victory from Liverpool, while Yaya wrestles Lallana. Klopp has lost his last four cup finals. Is he a bigger bottler than Arsenal, though, who blew their chance to beat Manchester United youth side in the Premier League? There's a chance that Jamie Vardy has once bottled someone in a pub, but beyond that, two teams not bottling anything are Leicester and Spurs, who both win to keep their title bids alive. Elsewhere, we've got the latest from Europe in the Europa and Champions League, and Moomoo of the Week, featuring Samir Nasri's head. Get on the good foot. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Koshcast here on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, with me today, Rishay Rana, and it's your birthday.
It certainly is, and it feels great.
How is your birthday going?
So far so good. The weather's good, lots of football today.
And you got free coffee at breakfast, so...
Free coffee,
as they say. Birthday to you.
Thank you, Bernie. Yes.
And that luscious singing voice you can hear.
Beautiful.
Bernie Uche. Well, how are you doing?
I am great. Absolutely fantastic.
Flying.
With all the football this weekend, it's everyone's birthday.
Really?
How are you doing, Alex?
I'm okay. I'm okay for now, until we start talking about it.
Well, let's talk about it.
Let's begin.
We'll get there. Let's start with some silverware today. Capital One Cup Final was played at Wembley, in February, which is kind of crappy.
Yeah, but February.
So it was Liverpool against Manchester City in the Capital One Cup Final, possibly the last trophy that Manuel Pellegrini could win, barring other results in the league. And
you don't think they're going to win the Champions League?
Yeah, sure. 1-1 after extra time.
Yep.
And Manchester City took it in the penalty shootout.
Yeah, interesting game. I think there were a few chances at either end. City obviously hit the post. Mignolet came up great with a lot of saves in this game. City were winning 1-0 until the end. And Liverpool came back.
Yeah.
Scored that late goal.
Well, Mignolet had an interesting day, didn't he? I mean, that first goal, the City goal, it was pretty lucky. I mean, Sané kind of smashed it at the goal.
Fernando.
Or Fernandinho, even. Having a rare game on the right wing, which was odd.
It was an utter shambles, though.
The
goal. Mignolet, crap.
Yes.
And we say every time he's crap, Bruce Grabalar would have a field day with this goal.
Well, yeah. Just this goal, though. This was the worst point of Mignolet's game.
But that's what I'm saying. Is after that, he actually recovered really well and made some outstanding saves.
He did. Yeah. And you know what? After that goal, Liverpool just kept coming into this game. They attacked and they attacked and they attacked. Sturridge looked really, really good,
yeah.
I thought. But again, he got a little leggy. His legs got very heavy.
That's fair.
They brought in Origi, and he's not ready yet. But honestly, credit to them. They got the equalizer through Coutinho. Great scramble in the box. He jumps in. I mean, for a Capital One Cup, this looked like the players really wanted this.
Yeah. Well, I think, as you said, I think both sets of players realize it's the only thing they're going to... I mean, Liverpool is obviously the only thing they're going to win, unless you think they're going to win the Europa League.
Or the Premier League.
That would involve
mathematically.
Liverpool going to win the Premier League.
They're going to win the league.
Okay.
It's there, yeah, mate.
But City, I mean, they will understand how far away they are from the title at this point, and how difficult the Champions League will be to win. So if they have any motivation to win something for Pellegrini, this has to be it.
There was a subplot in this game.
Yeah.
And that subplot was Raheem Sterling in a final against a team he left under controversial circumstances in Liverpool, and he did not show. I mean, he was buzzing, he was active, but he fluffed two glorious chances to put this well away.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what to say about.
Yeah, I think the score was 1-0, 60th minute, so the hour mark is coming up in this game. Sterling in front of goal, one-on-one against Mignolet, and he shoots wide. I mean, it's a cup final. These are the chances you have to put away.
It was a glorious opportunity. I don't see how you miss it.
I think you miss it by being Raheem Sterling. I mean, it's just like finishing is just not his thing. I assume at some point he will get better at it. If City have anything about them coaching wise, they will teach Raheem Sterling to score goals. But he doesn't. and the sideburns just make everything worse. Yeah.
That was shambolic.
They're terrible.
There's something wrong with the hairdressers at Man City, and we'll get on to that later.
But you know what? These two teams have been featuring in a lot of cup finals in recent years. Yeah. I mean, you've seen Liverpool in the FA Cup finals, against Chelsea a few years back, and they've been in the League Cup final a few times now. City, obviously, have been in many cup finals themselves. The domestic front.
Losing to Wigan, one notable cup final.
Yes, that was great. That was the end of Mancini. So, good for them to win this one and to move on with their season.
Pellegrini ends with a trophy. Well, it's not over. There's a long way to go. But sure, he has a trophy in what is going to be his last season now that Pep Guardiola is coming in. How are we going to remember Pellegrini's time at Man City?
That's a very good question.
I think the overarching memory will be could have done better. Honestly, he's won one league title, mm-hmm. right? And only by goal difference. Mm-hmm. And with a squad of that quality, you really feel like they should have done more.
Sorry, no, I don't think it was goal difference. I think it was by 2 points. That was when Liverpool almost won the league.
Was it?
Ah, they took another one from Liverpool. Okay. Yes.
Well, either way, it was close. And should have been more, and not necessarily that season, this City team on paper should be running away with the league, should be absolutely running away with it, and they're not even close. And so I think it's odd, and you also have to look at his transfer record. There's something to say that maybe he isn't the person that makes the ultimate decision there about mm-hmm. transfers. Hard to know, but the players they've brought in over the last couple of years haven't really added much to the team.
Mm. Yeah. Did this game give you, Richey, any insight into how good Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool is going to be?
To be fair, yes. I think Liverpool did come into the game really well at the end. They had a couple of chances, good pressure. Klopp has taken them to a cup final in the half season that he's been here. So, I mean, they could only get better next season from this point.
So did Kenny Dalglish, to be fair.
Well, he won the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
Well, until Jurgen Klopp signs Paul Konchesky.
But you know what? To be fair, it is Liverpool, so they could completely bottle it and get relegated next season.
This is true.
Well, I also feel that Firmino might be out for a while after Klopp bear-hugged him when Liverpool scored, because he's probably got, like, 4 broken ribs. That was a hug and a half.
Well, Adam Lallana probably has broken ribs after what Yaya Touré did to him. Yeah.
How was Yaya Touré still on the pitch? Can someone please explain this to me?
Yaya Touré was the bear in The Revenant.
Yes, he was.
Lallana was DiCaprio, who hopefully won the Oscar tonight. But anyway, that's what that felt like. That was assault.
It was assault. I mean, first of all, the tackle was horrendous. Mm-hmm. And then, second of all, you can't just wrestle someone.
Yeah, I don't really
apparently
know.
You can. The referee was right there.
Richey and I know all about wrestling.
Yes. Wrestling, I mean, yeah, he was down for a bit of a wrestling session, but I don't understand where his anger was coming from.
Nor do I really. Clearly he felt the tackle on Boney was bad, but it really wasn't that bad.
It really wasn't that bad. Yeah. But the hero of the day was Caballero. 3 penalty saves in a row, and that last one was fantastic. The stretch, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pleased, not only for Willy Caballero, but also for his family, because every time he has played since he moved to Man City, almost without exception, he's been terrible.
Yes.
And so everyone in his family has probably been being taken the piss out of, and finally he's done something good with his life.
Well, now his City career has meaning. Yeah. His life has meaning.
It doesn't matter, because Pep Guardiola's going to come in, and he's going to play Joe Hart. So, moving on.
Under Pep Guardiola, goalkeepers do need feet.
This is true.
Yeah, I guess.
So, let's move on to the English Premier League. I think the Capital One Cup, we're done. We don't need to talk about this anymore.
No. Capital.
Richey loves British imperialism. But Manchester United defeated Arsenal.
I don't think they played this
weekend. Sure it was the U21 side playing today?
Yeah, it was the Manchester United under-18s, actually.
Oh, was it the Youth Cup?
Yeah, Alex, that was a really heavy side.
Yeah.
Well, how many goals did Arsenal score in this game?
2.
How many did Manchester United score in this game?
I believe it was 3.
Ah, so Manchester United won this game.
Yes, they did. However, personally speaking, I think the best highlight of this game was the Louis van Gaal performance on the sidelines.
That was spectacular.
Yes, let's start with that. Yes. Let's start with that, because...
Ease me in here.
I mean, this was... Louis van Gaal was upset because of a tackle of Ana Herrera on Alexis Sanchez. Alexis Sanchez may have gone down easily.
May have, yes.
May have. And Louis van Gaal does not go onto that touchline. He does not show any emotion.
I've never seen him on the touchline before in his United days.
Firstly, the crowd was cheering when he got on the touchline.
Yes, and then
the cameras panned to it, because this was something that you do not see ever.
No. The people that sit in the stand behind him haven't seen him all season.
And then he's arguing with the fourth official, and then he just falls to the ground, simulating a dive. which I thought was the best dive of the season.
It would have been absolutely spectacular had the ref run over and booked him.
Arsene Wenger's face was like, I didn't touch you. As if he actually, there was like a foul with Arsene Wenger on Louis van Gaal.
I don't know what is going on.
That's the moment of his magic.
But the crowd in unison, laughing, cheering, exclaiming their joy.
Yeah, I mean, as silly as it was, this is exactly the kind of thing that will endear a manager to his fans.
Immediately they were saying, Louis van Gaal's Red Army.
And LVGN was trending for a little bit.
I'm sure he was.
A couple of memes were made somewhere in the meme factory.
Yep. But onto the game itself. Arsenal started the game, in my opinion, the more dominant side.
Yeah.
They had more of the ball. They had the early chance with Monreal that De Gea stood up to, as usual.
He really should have scored that.
I mean, he's not a striker. He's not sure
Monreal. That wouldn't have been the first time Monreal scored it on Old Trafford.
No, exactly.
This is true. But then, almost against the run of play, Guillermo Varela, who had a fantastic match, puts in a wonderful ball, and Arsenal, it was good as the ball was, they really should have dealt with it.
Yep.
And it fell to you-know-who, or at least now you-know-who, Marcus Rashford.
Remember the name? Marcus Rashford, U18 graduate.
First time finish past Peter Cech.
First shot, first start in the Premier League, and he scores.
Well, what was quite incredible about this goal is that Rashford scored two identical goals in midweek. Mm-hmm. In the Europa League.
The cutback,
like,
and
honest,
the shot.
Honest to God, just about identical. Like, he's in the right place at the right time, deserves a lot of credit for being there. The ball bubbling around in the penalty area and falls to him and he puts it away. And it happened again.
Fantastic.
3 minutes later.
that was even better.
Once more, great play from Varela on the right flank.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Varela, Lingard, and Mata linked up really, really well. That surprised me. I didn't expect this from Varela. I thought he was going to get eaten alive on that side by Alexis Sanchez. And he almost did. Got booked early on. But Alexis did not offer any cover for Nacho.
He was out of this game.
Whatsoever.
He wasn't in this game.
Alexis has been horrible in recent weeks. I mean, the thing with him is you can never fault the effort. And so he doesn't really get the criticism that other players would because you always see him running around.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been terrible.
But Lingard with the beautiful ball in.
Yeah.
And a great header.
His left foot, Lingard.
Which doesn't usually happen.
No.
And for an 18-year-old to have the presence to head the ball like that past Petr Cech, maybe he could have done better. I don't know. Maybe Petr Cech could have done better.
Perhaps the marking could have been better as well. I don't think they learned from the first goal.
No.
Which is why he was still wide open.
Also, were shambles in the box, for sure. Yeah.
It was.
But one key insight, we talk so much about the age of the United players, the youth players that are coming up into the squad because of injuries, and now you're looking at Guillermo Varela and Jesse Lingard and Marcus Rashford celebrating goals together against Arsenal.
It's fantastic. And you know what? This is another one of those reasons why some people say if Van Gaal is going to go, that they do not want Jose Mourinho. Because you don't get these moments with Jose Mourinho.
No, you don't
get to see a homegrown player from Manchester like Marcus Rashford score a brace at Arsenal at home. It does not happen.
That's the thing. And like we'll get to Spurs, I'm sure. But Spurs are doing incredibly well. But the reason it is meant more to Spurs fans this season is because they see their homegrown players doing it. And it feels different.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying it feels very different. But one question I have for you as United fans is whether you think that this explosion of youth players into the team is at all part of any kind of Van Gaal philosophy, or whether it is just circumstance and the fact that you have a lot of injuries.
No, I think it is purely circumstance and there's a lot of injuries. Of course, these players have been developed to a certain extent, and here they are. If you have them, use them. So they've been lucky in that sense.
I mean, the reason why I'm still LVG out and probably will always be is because it's mistakes that have caused the mistakes that he's made and injuries that have caused these players to come in. Same thing with last season where Van Persie's injury was what led to Rooney leading the line and what led to Di Maria's red card, led to Mata on the right. All these things just fell into place and then the team played better. This is exactly the same thing. And you have 15 senior players injured. If you've seen the lineup of players, it's actually a first 11 that you can create from that.
Yeah.
And that Rashford gets a debut. Varela gets the play. Weir comes in. Fonsu Mensah comes in. This is not, even though Van Gaal will tell you he has a small squad, in order to let the young players play, I believe that was 5% of the reason why he has a small squad.
I don't think this
was deliberate at all.
I would agree. Speaking of giving credit to managers, though, David Moyes' legacy, Guillermo Varela.
If that's all he has to contribute to Manchester United...
He did that.
as well as a 5-year nanny contract.
There was that too.
Arsenal came back into the game. Danny Welbeck got a goal from an Ozil assist.
Did not celebrate.
That's number 18. Well, good he didn't celebrate.
Because it was 2-1.
Yeah, Arsenal were crap. And also, he has some respect, finally. But 18th assist for Mesut Ozil. a great ball into the box,
yeah.
poor defending, and
yeah.
the only thing you can expect from a centre-back pairing of Michael Carrick and Daley Blind, there's no organisation in
right.
the box.
That's fair, although I thought Daley Blind had one of his best games I've ever seen.
He did.
He was quite imperious, yeah. actually.
But I think it was because he was standing next to Carrick, who was centre-back. I think Carrick has come back in the team now for two games, played centre-back, a position he's not naturally in, and he's made to look a bit sheepish both games.
A little bit. I agree with that. I agree with that. And United came... I mean, Rashford scores two, gets an assist. Brilliant,
yeah.
brilliant pass from Mata to actually release
Rashford. Yeah.
I'm going to name my son Rashford Uche, by the way.
Rashford Uche.
This is a thing. And then he has the presence of mind to hold up the play, which you don't expect from young players. You think they're going to rush in, do something stupid. He holds up
do
the ball.
Do something rash.
Yeah, there you go.
Very good, Alex.
Then Ana Herrera comes in with the late breaking run into the box, which you're supposed to do as a box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah.
He's trying to curl it, but it gets a wicked deflection.
Yeah.
Petr Cech has no chance. That's 3-1. Arsenal come back into the game through Mesut Ozil, but ultimately they didn't have enough.
No, and I think the reason, you know, Arsenal came back into the game twice, but at no point did I look at those goals and think, oh, we're building something here. Because it wasn't like a wave of momentum that led to the goals. They were kind of one-off incidents. And beyond that, Arsenal played terribly. This may have been... It's always easier to say this after the most recent game because it's what you remember. But this is easily one of the worst performances they've had all season.
Perhaps a little bit of low confidence after the Barcelona loss.
They didn't appear confident.
Yeah.
It's true. But also, there's a personnel issue there. I think when you've got... Mahana and I have said this a number of times, but Ramsey in central midfield, as one of the two, doesn't work. Because there's no distribution. He's not calm on the ball. He doesn't have the control in tight spaces to get out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he just knocks passes all over the place. He suffers a bit from Steven Gerrarditis, I think.
And he wasn't even the worst player on the pitch. That was Theo Walcott.
He was on the pitch?
Absolute worst performance, by virtue of being anonymous, worst performance I have ever seen from Theo Walcott. That was embarrassing. That was more embarrassing for me than any of the players in that 8-2 defeat.
He was a ghost.
Was horrible.
I think someone killed him on the weekend and he came back as this.
Yeah, I think, you know what, one honorable mention should be given to Memphis Depay.
Yes.
Because he has appeared short of confidence for a very long time, and in the last two games he's played, he's been fantastic, leading the attack.
Yeah, he had a good game today. And let's go on to Arsenal's next opponents.
Oh, God.
And how do you go from losing 3-2 to the Manchester United under-18s, again, and then go play the informed team in this league, Tottenham Hotspur, who, by the way, I'll be the first to put my hand up and say that I did not believe that they have what it took, you know, to win this league. I am being proven wrong the second time because I didn't believe in Leicester.
Yeah.
They're doing well. I did not believe in Spurs. I gave Arsenal all the credit
we
that they were going to win this league.
I did not think
Manchester United were going to win this game. They did do that. And now they have to play Tottenham, who beat Swansea today 2-1 coming from behind.
Man, it's a good thing you won the Predictions League when the Premier League wasn't quite as mental as this.
Yes, it's been a ridiculous season. Every week for about 20 weeks, we've been talking about how, okay, Leicester are not going to do it, but they've been doing it. Now we're talking about Tottenham also winning the league.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, let's talk about the game. Swansea took the lead, right? And this is at White Hart Lane. You're thinking to yourself, is this where it all starts to fall apart? Because it took them a while, you know, to get those goals back. In the, I think, 65th and then something like that.
Yeah, two late goals, yeah.
But they don't stop. Similar to Leicester, they don't stop. They keep hounding you and they come after you. And Nasser Chadli got a rather fortuitous goal. But,
yes.
you know, you have to score goals like that.
Absolutely.
What did you guys take away from this game?
Well, first of all, let's give a bit of praise to Hugo Lloris, who kept it 0-0 after 2 minutes with an unbelievable save.
Point blank.
It was a strike from a few yards out. And how he managed to reach it, I don't know. So that was one thing. The other thing was, Swansea have never beaten Tottenham. And as much as, you know, they went ahead fairly early and Tottenham took a while to come back, I was never in any doubt that Spurs would come back.
Mm-hmm.
A, because Swansea have never beaten them, but B, because, as you said, this team doesn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the players, and they overwhelm teams. You saw there were a couple of occasions where Spurs were on the break, and they broke with 5 or 6 men.
Mm-hmm.
And that was common. And they have the fitness levels to keep that up for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think this Tottenham team does have a lot of heart. That's why they find themselves in this position. 2 points off the top, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the favourites against Arsenal next week.
Oh, by far.
Danny Rose got the winning goal.
Yeah.
And Pochettino at the end said that he wanted to jump into the crowd with the fans. And I think, you know, he Jurgen Klopp would have done it.
Yeah.
But Pochettino, I think there is this, you know, affiliation with the support. Not just the team. the supporters, the directors, the management, everyone is together in this cause. And it's fantastic to see that.
But again, that brings me back to the point about the homegrown players, because that's what brings it. You see when Tottenham fans, when Bentaleb came into the team, and then Kane, and they sing, he's one of our own. Yeah, it might be cheesy, but that's the thing that connects the players and the management and the staff and the fans.
You know what's going to be a hard thing to vote for this season? The manager of the season.
Yeah.
It's true. You have, you know, and perfect time to talk about, you know, you have Pochettino, obviously.
Yeah, you have Ranieri.
I think Ranieri, exactly. On the other side of the field, we're talking everything we just said about Tottenham. Switch the name Tottenham and put Leicester in there. Yep. And we're having the exact same discussion. Yeah. They're a united dressing room. The fans are just intense, and they're behind this. And you have, you know what, a manager in Ranieri, who, like we said, is fighting for a manager of the year. But this is a guy who was forgotten. And we cannot, you know, overestimate that. He was a forgotten man. And look what he's doing there.
Yeah.
This 1-0 victory against Norwich, was a grinder.
But you could tell, yeah. I mean, I was watching the dying moments of this game, and when Mahrez picked up that ball in space just before the goal, you could hear in the commentator's voice that there was some sort of, like, hope. You know, everyone was hoping for it. And then when they scored, the crowd went nuts. The commentators were going nuts. Ranieri, the joy. You know, I think they really want this. I really do.
They do. And I mean, frankly, credit to Norwich for hanging in as long as they did. But it was another game where you just felt it was inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Leicester have the opposite situation of Arsenal, in that Arsenal feel the pressure.
Yeah, big time.
You know, the pressure of not winning the league for 10 years. And every time they get in a decent position where you think they're going to do it, I think it gets to them. Leicester have nothing to lose.
No.
So they're going out there and just enjoying
it. And no other obligations in competitions.
Absolutely.
I will say this, though. Claudio Ranieri has, from a winning position, finished second so many times in multiple leagues.
Yes.
And I think it might just happen again, but I will put them top two for sure.
Even if that happens again this time, he still won.
Oh, yeah.
He's the big winner in this season.
They're still going to Europe.
And one last note on this game is his substitutions are amazing. He's had this history this season of putting in the right person at the right time. Because Ochoa came off the bench, and again, a decisive
I was going to say, it's usually Ochoa.
This is true. And another from-behind victory to Chelsea over Southampton. Gus Hiddink getting it done again. I think they're still undefeated in the Premier League.
I think this game was the encapsulation of winning ugly. Because Southampton deservedly ahead 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fabregas somehow just a nothing ball into the box. And Fraser Foster is just sleeping.
Well, this is bizarre. So Southampton hadn't conceded a goal in something like 9 hours or 6 games or something before this. And Fraser Forster was the main reason for that. He came back after his long injury and immediately the team improved. Went on a run, stopped conceding goals, etc. And then the two goals today, or yesterday even, they were bizarre. Like, what was he doing?
The Cesc Fabregas, firstly, that was a cross.
Yeah.
And it was a bad cross.
It really was.
It was pathetic. But I don't know what... I mean, from our angle, he doesn't look like his view is, you know, anyone's in front of him, like, blocking his view. It looked like he maybe got his feet wrong, or
he expected Hazard
to make a touch, I guess, and Hazard kind of just left it.
Yeah.
And went to the other side instead, so his anticipation was a bit off.
I mean, that was confusing. And then the corner kick, good corner, decent enough header from Ivanovic.
Yeah.
I mean, Ivanovic will get you a couple goals in the season, even though he's had an absolute shambolic season.
By his standards, yeah.
I thought Fraser Forster should have got a stronger hand on that.
Well, he went down late. It was really noticeable.
Yeah, same thing with the first goal. He reacted late.
Yeah.
Both goals.
It was odd. It was like he was on painkillers or something.
Or maybe he went out the night before.
Maybe.
Mm. Or the morning off.
Morning off. Hello.
This is possible.
Yeah. You know what? I think if he just stood still and stuck a leg out, he could have saved that.
So right around the part of the table that Southampton are in, battling Manchester United, West Ham get a victory against Sunderland.
Yeah.
I had Norwich on my agenda. I don't know why Norwich played two teams in a day. But against
very
Sunderland,
impressive. No wonder they get relegated.
That's some fitness. But they got the victory against Sunderland. Very good victory considering that Sunderland beat Manchester United in the last game. Exactly. And as O'Shea would say, they were
bang in form.
There you go. Sorry, Alex. I know you said it, but
he has
to say it.
He does. Antonio.
Yep.
With another goal. He's been phenomenal this season. But B, best celebration all weekend?
I give him that.
Absolutely.
It's definitely up there.
Pulls over, does a break dancey swirly thing.
His shorts were definitely riding up a bit high when he did it.
I brought my longer shorts for the game.
Good.
Today because the short shorts thing is not
working. As long as you had like a spandex flare inside as well.
just for context, Bernie has some Lille football shorts and they're extremely short. Yeah, and Bernie's extremely tall.
Yeah, they're Lille. They're Lille, very Lille shorts, very that's Lille. For sure.
But Antonio, he looked like a sprinkler.
Daniel Sturridge is not going to be happy with this. He's got a great dancer in the Premier League than him. I have to say, he's. I mean, at Nottingham Forest, he was very impressive. Mm. And when he took him some time to get adjusted to West Ham, but they've got some real pace in that team, and he's contributing now. And I think they have the most amount of points that they've had at this point of any season. This is a record for them. So Slaven Bilic, great job. Would have been a contender for Manager of the Year if not for a little blip that they had midway into the season.
But yeah.
Definitely have to give them credit.
I want to ask something about this. And Antonio brings up this point. Because Vardy this season has been the story, right? Rags to riches. Was playing non-league football. Now he's in the Premier League, etc. I'm pretty sure that Antonio is in the same position. Like, in the last 5 years, he's come from non-league and risen to now playing in the Premier League and doing exceptionally well. But no one talks about it. Is that just because West Ham aren't at the top of the table?
Yes. Okay. That's exactly why. And also, Vardy's... I don't know,
There's something magical about Leicester.
He's a bit of a ruffian. You know what I mean? So, it's like... it's like this rag. It is really, literally a rag. So it looks like rags.
But rags are the story. At the same time, West Ham are a very strong team to play. You know, if you were to play West Ham next week, you're in for a tough fixture. I think they have that doggedness about them as well. They haven't got results going the same way for them as Leicester have. I think that's the difference.
Awesome. And you look at Chris Smalling, similar situation. Yeah. Exactly. But it's Vardy's year.
Right.
So Is it?
It's the year of the Vard.
Oh, did I just say it's their year?
You just did.
Which means they're going to slip it up. They're going to slip up.
It might be. Now you have to say it for every team just to be even.
No, we'll do that.
Move on.
Let's go on to Moomoo of the Week.
Yes.
Moomoo of the Week.
We start Moomoo of the Week this week in North America, which I'm not sure we've been to for Moomoo before, which is surprising, really. But
Breaking new ground.
The new world.
Manifest destiny.
New Moomoos everywhere.
Bruce Arena. I mean, A, Moomoo for agreeing to sign Steven Gerrard in the first place. Everywhere. Right? Let's get that out of the way. But this week, he moved the time of a flight that the Galaxy were taking back an hour or two to allow Steven Gerrard to watch the League Cup final.
My problem with that is we just talked about how they lost the League Cup final, so he's probably not going to be motivated to play this game now that he's been given that concession.
There's that. There's pandering to your designated players. There's also the fact that there's no way you can convince me that Steven Gerrard couldn't have watched the game on this extremely expensive private jet that the LA Galaxy
sure it has its own satellite.
Right, so...
So, like, if Robbie Keane wants to watch, I don't know, Gaelic football or something, are they going to move that for him?
I'm so happy you said Gaelic football.
You know what? I'm not sure they even have streams. That's what it's called,
right?
Yeah. It's
really fun to watch. I'm just not sure if you have a channel for it.
Oh. Oh, listen, boss, I'd like to watch Gaelic football. Will you let me watch it?
Richie, you have a Moomoo for us, right?
Yes, I do. My Moomoo is from the other side of the world, in Turkey.
Turkey, yeah.
There was a match between Trabzonspor and Galatasaray recently that was a bit feisty. And at one point in time, there were 8 men on the field for Trabzonspor. The score was 1-1. And, you know, just moments prior to this incident, a player was sent off. And so one of his teammates decided that he would pull the referee's red card out of his pocket and brandish the red card at the referee.
It's incredible.
As a joke.
So he showed the referee a red card.
He did.
Didn't Gaza do that once? Or was it a yellow?
I don't know what he did.
I feel like it was Alan Shearer in England, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure Gaza.
We'll look that up.
Maybe Shearer did it too.
Yeah. But this is spectacular.
Yeah.
And he got sent off promptly.
He was sent off for dissent, and the Turkish football authorities also enforced a 3-match ban for him.
Huh. I'm not sure that's enough.
To be honest, I think this is extremely harsh, because in the other incidents that I've seen players jokingly give the referee a red card, I think that, you know, they just laugh it off.
Well, it all depends on context. But if I was the ref in that situation, I would have told him to send himself off. Like, let him keep the card, but send himself off.
That would be funny. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? This reminds me of a time that Ronaldinho was supposed... The referee was trying to give him a yellow card, gave him a red card. Everyone was shocked, and the referee's like, oh, no, wait, just... It's a yellow.
Yeah. So if Ronaldinho had showed him the ref the red card, he probably would have laughed that one off.
Possibly, yeah. I don't think it would have been a three-match ban.
That is testimonial-esque behavior.
Well, speaking of people who will never receive a testimonial anywhere ever, El Hadji Diouf came out with some fantastic things this week. I think we could have dedicated this whole segment to El Hadji Diouf, but I'm going to pick out the highlights of what this man said.
Is it fair to say that he was on the rampage?
Honestly, he was. I mean, first and foremost, he called Steven Gerrard a loser. I think an effing loser. He called him a wanker.
Jamie Carragher as well.
Yeah. And he insulted all of Liverpool because he said Liverpool fans are a bunch of wankers and they're no longer a big club. This is not the 80s. Wake up.
Wow.
That was crazy.
He knows he's played for them since then, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. And this is what he said. He said, I carried the national team for many years, 14 million fans on my shoulders. What I represented for Senegal, Gerrard never managed 1/100th of that for England.
That's true.
Not only, this is very, very true, but the problem is Senegal, England.
Yeah.
I mean, There have not been that many good football players coming out of Senegal.
That's true.
Gerrard is easily, would be the best player in the Senegalese national team.
What are you saying about Papa Diop?
Hey, I'm not hating on Papa Diop. I'm just saying.
Yeah, all right. My question about this entire incident is, where is this anger coming from?
He felt mistreated in England. He thought the fans...
But, I mean, haven't we been over this? It's been years. I feel like he's just going to explode and say the same things in 3 years.
Well, he also did say that his time at Sunderland, that place was a piece of shit. And, yeah, we'll leave the moments for there.
Fairly undeniable. Did he slag off the Beatles while he was at it?
He would be crucified for that. All right, so before I start the Champions League segment, I was reminded of Samer Nasri's blue haircut, which didn't make the Moomoo list, but we wanted to give an honorable mention anyway.
Yeah, it deserves to be there.
I mean, I'm not into criticizing people's fashion choices, but I mean, what are you talking about? Smurfs, the Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
How blue was this?
It was quite blue.
It was dubba dee dubba.
Yes, I was just about to say that. You know, to be fair, like, if you're the hairdresser putting this together, you gotta, you gotta take yourself really seriously, because I wouldn't be able to do that.
I think he's just filled up a sink with dye and dunked his head in. I'm not sure a hairdresser was involved. Yeah. There's professional standards.
Is this his way of showing his commitment to the cause, to Pep Guardiola, then? He's making a very, very
It very well
mistake.
Might be. You might not be mistaken about that.
Let's move on to Pep Guardiola. Juventus played Bayern Munich in the Champions League.
What a game.
Oh,
great game, yeah.
2-2.
Yeah.
Fantastic result. Two away goals, not fantastic, but the fact that Bayern Munich were 2-0 up in this game, away from home. Thomas Müller, we were talking about him invading space and exactly what he did with that goal. Alex, did you want to talk about that one a little bit?
Well, he's got the whole Rashford thing, right? Like, he's in the right place at the right time.
Van Gaal said the exact same
thing. He's the world's most mysterious player.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And there was actually an article in The Guardian about him the day before, and it picked on a couple of incidences in the past where a ball's come into the box, Müller has been standing on the penalty spot, completely unmarked, to tap in the rebound. And that's, again, exactly what happened. It's bizarre that no one picks him up in these situations.
Well, it's not as if... It looks sometimes as if he's been standing there for ages.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah,
he just appears at the right time. It's fantastic. And that's exactly what he did. And then, Iron Robin... It's boring now.
You know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And it happens
I've seen
anyway.
This movie time after time.
Yeah.
But... no one seems to be able to figure out the plot line. I don't understand.
Like, yeah.
He comes in on his left foot, gets into that position, and you know he's going to shoot. And he scores a wonderful goal.
He's unbeatable. I mean, that's his signature Arjen Robben move. You see it in many times before. You'll see it many more times from now.
Yeah, it's called the career move.
The career move. The Robben move.
It's like... the wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the match, they have their finishing move to win the match. You know it's coming, but you can't stop it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But this game was so interesting because Pep actually said afterwards, despite their loss of two goals at the end to draw, he was like, no, this was better than I expected because I didn't expect to go to the Juventus Stadium and dominate in the way that we did.
Oh, yeah.
But Bayern had like 70% of the ball.
Mm-hmm. They were inside the Juventus half.
Like,
the whole game.
Make no mistake, Juve just came back into this in the last 10 to 15 minutes with two goals. But before that, Bayern had wiped the floor with them.
Mm-hmm. Two very good goals by Juventus, too.
They showed some passion and some grit because when they did score the first one, the Morata header to.
Dybala.
Oh, sorry, that was the second one. The first one was Dybala.
Yeah.
Who I didn't slag off, but I just didn't believe in. and he's making me eat my words again. So this is Leicester, this is Spurs, and now Dybala. My record this season is not
it's been terrible.
Very bad. And then, I can't remember his name for the life of me, but...
Storaro.
From the Morata header.
A header across the box.
The header assist, yeah.
Yep.
And you don't see that very often, in that way, like a cross.
Yeah. So that was 2-2. I think you expect Bayern Munich to go through, but you can't say that Juventus have not put in a hell of a performance.
No, absolutely. And they've given themselves a chance, which is really all that they can do. And you never know. I mean, an away goal or two in the Allianz Arena, and anything could happen. But
they'll
you're right. You would expect Bayern to make it through in the next round.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I like this matchup because it's two of the deepest squads in Europe, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And 2-2 in the first leg, you know, everything's to play for in the second leg.
So let's talk about a team that is not going through to the next round. Presumptuous, but let's just assume this. Arsenal lost 2-0 at home to a little team, unknown. You know, FC Barcelona. Who are they?
Little Horse FC.
Who is Lionel Messi? I'm not sure who that person is.
Well, for 70 minutes, nor did we.
This is true. On the balance of play, it wasn't even a fair. I thought Arsenal did very, very well.
Yeah.
For 70 minutes. Per Mertesacker, who I slag off forever, looked like a decent footballer, did a great job on Lionel Messi in tandem with Cassioni and Monreal.
Yeah.
But then it all fell apart.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, is that Arsenal did a very diligent, very conscious, very solid defensive job for 70 minutes. They knew exactly what they had to do. They never let themselves get counterattacked. They've got men behind the ball. Until they did. But this is the thing, is they got into the game in the second half. They started having a bit more of the ball, having a couple
Giroud
of chances.
Giroud had a great chance.
Giroud had an excellent chance.
Ter Stegen had to make a good save.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think they got a little bit confident. They thought, actually, we might be able to do this. And so the one time they got slightly overconfident, they pushed too many men forward. One counterattack is all it took.
And you know what? It was Neymar, Messi, Neymar, Suarez, and Messi finish.
Yeah. It was beautiful. And one thing Wenger said was that they lost their discipline, they lost their shape.
That's exactly
and
it.
It's literally what happened. For me, and one thing I've noticed is Per Mertesacker stepped up. Per Mertesacker stepped up way too far. And then he did the sliding tackle, which definitely took himself out of that, out of recovery mode for that. And then Mohamed will tell you that Cassioni really should have taken out was it Suarez, I think? I don't know, maybe, but...
I think where you knew it was going to be a goal in this move was when Suarez nutmegged passed it back to Neymar, and then it was a two-on-one situation, and you knew Messi was going to get the ball. His first touch, he had all to play for, but that first touch was so sweet,
you knew it was going to be a goal. That was his first goal against Petrček in, I think, 5 or 6 tries or something like that. And Petrček was joking about that. You know, that statistic, because he'd done a pretty good job against Messi until that point.
Yeah.
The first touch from Messi put Cech on the floor, and then it was an academic finish.
Yeah.
It's true. Sorry to interrupt. I think we actually have to look at Monreal there. And I feel bad about this because he's been, as Mo will say, one of Arsenal's best players all season. And he was good in this game too. But that decision to come across to try and help Koscielny deal with Neymar was the wrong one. Mm-hmm. It was completely the wrong one. Neymar had the ball. He was ahead of Koscielny, yes. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake. But to finish from that angle, it would have had to have been a brilliant shot.
Mm-hmm.
To beat Cech from that angle with Koscielny there. So why Monreal felt the need to come over with Messi and leave Messi alone in the box, I don't understand.
He left the best player in the world alone in the box. It's not a smart move.
Not the brightest move. A bit of panic involved over there, I think.
Speaking
of not bright moves... Matthew Flamini and Per Mertesacker combined to create the dumbest moment in the Champions League so far this season.
It was a bit Carling Cup final, Koscielny, Szczesny kind of thing.
Oh, that was bad.
But it was the kind of that level of stupidity.
Arsenal memories recreated.
I mean, this was shocking. The ball comes in. I can't remember who floated the ball in, but the ball floated into the box. And the first mistake was Per Mertesacker. I don't know what he was trying to do. Whether he was trying to control it and miscontrolled it or kick it and miskicked it. Whatever he did, it was a mistake.
Yep.
It was unbelievable. And then Matthew Flamini, does he not have awareness of what's behind him or what? I'm confused.
Perhaps Flamini's thinking he's got enough time to actually take a big swing at it, clear it out the box, but he's beaten to it.
I thought this was a classic example, and I think you nailed it. He thought he had more time, but I think this is a classic example of someone who's gotten old without realizing it. Like, he thought more of his own physical ability than actually existed.
To be fair, I think saying that he's aged a little fast is unfair. I mean, he came out as a sub, like, a few seconds before that, so maybe he wasn't hot enough.
45 seconds into this game.
Yeah.
The limbs weren't moving.
This...
He'd already committed a foul by this point.
Oh, yeah. So this is as bad as Steven Gerrard getting sent off after 38 seconds.
This could possibly...
This is just as bad.
It was spectacular.
Because really this has now rendered Arsenal's the second leg useless, in my opinion.
What's it is useless. I think play the kids.
Like,
it's
another bottle job, you know, from Arsenal. And you guys keep telling me this is to be expected, but...
Yep.
That's three times they've come against Barcelona in the round of 16 in recent years. Three times, it looks like three times, they're going to be eliminated.
And it seems like, again, it's the same song and dance. And we're not going to get into, you know, Wenger out or not, but... It is very repetitive, and I can see how this is upsetting for a lot of fans.
It's extremely frustrating, because while you look at that squad and you don't necessarily think they should be beating Barcelona necessarily, but they should be putting up a good fight, and it should at least go to two legs.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be going into the second leg with Arsene Wenger saying we're 95% sure that we're out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So we'll see what happens in the second legs. Some second legs that did happen in Europe were in the Europa League. First game, Spurs and Fiorentina. Spurs lost the first leg in Italy 1-0.
Oh, no, it was 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1.
Oh, sorry, was it 1-1?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Oh, yeah, Chadli scored that
game.
Yeah. So that was 1-1. And, you know, this is finally poised. This was going to be a good game. And Spurs just... What did they
do? Famous last words from Alex prior to kickoff. I've seen the lineups. Spurs are going out tonight.
Yes.
I thought they would.
He did say that. That was the prediction that you got wrong.
Yep.
So... In your face.
You're just happy that I got one wrong.
I need someone else to be wrong, because this has been bad for me. But Ryan Mason, I mean, good play, good finish.
Yep.
Spurs ended up, I mean, it was actually, the scoreline's a bit flattering. I thought Fiorentina were not bad at all, but Spurs were decisive in this
game.
Ended 3-0. Fantastic performance. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the best performance of any English team in Europe so far.
Yeah. Fiorentina, a good Italian team.
And Lamella... continuing his, I mean, renaissance is the wrong word, but continuing his good season with a really good finish, actually. So that second goal.
Yeah.
But Fiorentina, by the end, they were utterly, utterly demoralised.
I mean, they knew they were out, so...
But I think part of that is physically playing Tottenham. It looks so demanding.
Yes.
Like, they just batter you physically, and it's incredible. And Fiorentina actually rested their squad in the Serie A to play this game. Yeah. So...
Oh, it just goes to show you the difference in pace.
Yeah.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Good for Tottenham, though.
I didn't see 3-0.
Spurs now move on to play Dortmund, which is going to be an amazing game.
Yes. Looks like two similar teams matching up then.
Liverpool beat Augsburg 1-0. So, a good night for the English sides, which we haven't really said in European competition for a long time. Professional performance, James Milner penalty, I think it was. Yeah, James Milner penalty.
Finally, the English teams are playing in a league that they belong in.
Yeah, they found their level. But this is the first time Klopp has ever won against Augsburg.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame. Well, not a shame. It was a shame before.
Yeah, yeah.
Manchester United beat FC Password.
Midtjylland.
So, some people call them Midgetland, and some people call them FC Password. Both of them I love.
I'm into it.
I'm really into it.
My next password.
It was... This game ended 5-1.
Started 1-0 for...
What's his name? Piano Sisto? Or is it like...
Sistine Chapel.
Well, I know it's Sisto. If you want to make Sistine jokes, go ahead, Roger.
Sure.
But he got, I mean, some fancy footwork to get... Password, Michelin. I forget their name now because I hear their password so much. To put them up 1-0.
Yeah, first chance of the game for Michelin. He puts Michael Carrick on his backside and calmly finishes it into the bottom corner.
It was a great goal, and you saw from the celebration that he really thought like that was a decisive moment.
Oh, yeah. He thought he was going to get signed by Barcelona.
Yeah. Apparently they rejected a £7 million pound bid from Ajax for the kid.
Wow.
But United got back into it. Memphis Depay was rampaging on that wing. His finest performance in front of Manchester United. Unfortunately, it's against FC Password.
Well,
I wish it was against a bigger team.
Has to come sometime.
He didn't play bad today against Arsenal. This was a really good performance. The right back he was up against, Romer, said that this was the closest he's come to crying after a match ever in his career.
Lovely. I love a cry.
He actually said that's the best he's ever seen anyone play, which is means really he doesn't come up against good opposition.
Or watch much football.
Right. But the story really was Rashford, brace on his debut. I mean, fantastic performance from him. The team took confidence in that and ended up winning this game 5-1. On to the next round to play against Liverpool. And that is going to be fantastic. fantastic.
This is phenomenal. I've not been this excited about the Europa League in a long time.
never been excited about Europa.
This is exactly the injection that the Europa League needed. Because before this, we were calling for the Europa League's head.
Yes.
Yes, we were.
But not only that, we've got Valencia against Bilbao, which is going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then Villarreal, who are they playing?
I'm not sure.
I'm blanking. But they knocked out Napoli. Yeah. Which is impressive.
The Spanish teams also did commendably well, as they usually do in the Europa League, because, you know, that's what they invest their time in.
The Europa League has some very good ties. These are teams that could be Champions League teams are struggling, and they're playing in the Europa League, and it's making for some going to make some for fantastic watching.
Yeah.
And speaking of fantastic watching, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Atletico coming up winners, 1-0 after Bernabeu.
Yes.
Yeah.
The third time in a row that they have won there. The first time they've done that, I believe. Some sort of record was broken.
They love it. They absolutely love it.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
What's a goal, too? The build-up.
Brilliant
the
team goal. Oh. And Ronaldo missed quite a few chances in this game.
Did you hear what he said?
That's because no one was on his level.
See, I heard what he said, and... You don't say that. Like, you should not say that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm used to North American sports where Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan say these types of things all the time as a motivational tactic.
Yeah, no, this comes in the El Hedge Diouf school of you're not wrong, necessarily, but you shouldn't say it anyway.
He tried to backtrack from the statement. So he said that the media was criticizing him too much, that if the other players were on his level, that maybe they would be leaders right now.
Yeah.
And he backtracked and said, look, I was talking about physical ability. Like physical fitness, rather.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe.
You know what? If he was talking about physical fitness, Atletico do pose a very physical threat in these big games. You have seen that against Barcelona, where they were down to 9 men recently because they wanted a physical game. They did it against Real. They've bullied them before in the past. You know, a recent 4-0 win comes to mind.
This is true.
That's Atletico's game against them.
I mean, if you do look at it, at some point in the game, when Benzema came off injured, you know, there's no Bale. James is lightweight. Isco is lightweight. He's playing with Borja and Vasquez. It was a front three of Borja, Vasquez, and Cristiano Ronaldo. So in the context of that, you know, you're thinking to yourself, this is not what we're going to win the league with.
Where was Hesse? Where was whoever else? Hesse, I mean, they have so many players.
Hesse didn't play this game. And even if you don't really want to play Atletico Madrid with someone like Hesse, you want someone of Bale... And some
better than having Borges on the field.
And Barcelona, we just saw this game. They beat Sevilla 2-1. Messi free kick, PK getting the after Sevilla equalized.
Yeah. Sevilla scored first. They opened.
Oh, sorry, Sevilla scored first. Awesome. That makes it even better that Barcelona came back from that. That's amazing.
I mean, they didn't need to necessarily.
Right. They could have lost this game and still won this league.
Stroll in the park, really.
But just to very quickly touch on Real Madrid again, I think that. What we're seeing is exactly the problem with building a team in the way that they build a team. Because if it's all about personnel and not at all about your system and a way of playing and tactics, then when you're losing those players in an important match, everything breaks down. Whereas if you actually have some... I think the jury is still very much out on Zidane. We don't know what he does, really, or what his system or philosophy is. But if you put Diego Simeone in charge of a team like Real Madrid, there's a system there... that gets the best out of what you have. Even if what you have isn't the best, it gives you a chance to be successful.
I do think that when you look at the context again, even though, again, we've touched on this, don't say it, but if you look at the Barcelona team, right, then the context of what Ronaldo said makes a lot of sense. Because Messi, right, Barcelona's not going to win the league with Borja and Vasquez coming off the bench. It's not going to happen. And if they can keep players fit as well. But... he's playing with Neymar, he's playing with Suarez, he's playing with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that you're going to win the league with. And if we have someone like Messi of that caliber with those guys, I mean, look at the free kick he scored today. He's improving his free kick prowess immensely. But he has those other guys as well with him. And that is the difference between Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Well
said.
Hard to disagree with that.
Quickly move on to Italy, really quickly. The Derby d'Italia. I'm gonna get this right.
Derby Derby.
Salvatore Dali.
Juventus beating Inter Milan 2-0.
Yes.
It was Bonucci and then Morata with the penalty.
Yep.
Fairly academic performance, it seemed. It was in the background while we were doing this.
So 16 out of 17 wins now.
It looked like an intense game.
Yeah. But unfortunate that my... I mean, it's in Italy. If I had to pick a team, I'm picking Inter Milan. So I'm upset that they lost.
To be fair, you know, I still don't know how much the match officials were paid.
Wow.
They don't disclose that stat in these Serie A games.
You're going to get a nasty email from Tariq Abdullah. I promise you that.
Yes.
I'm sure I will. And I bring it on, Tariq. Please.
So Alex Del Piero says that that was Inter's last chance to get a Champions League spot. And I, for one, say good. They don't deserve it.
Well, I think that was the last chance for anyone to stop Juventus winning the league.
Well, that too.
And I think that's pretty much
it. I called this in match day 4 when Juventus was 16th.
You did?
Yeah.
Before we go, because we're running out of time, two really, really quick things we have to talk about. Gianni Infantino.
Mm.
He is now the FIFA president.
The world's Bladder most powerful peanut.
Yes.
He looks like a peanut.
He does look like a peanut.
Or Carl Pilkington.
The peanut man would be a better president than anyone that FIFA have elected so far. But any quick words? What do you think is going to happen? Same old, or is this change at FIFA now?
I mean, he wants 40 teams in the World Cup for a start.
No, I don't like him.
I think Blatter's ban was reduced to 6 years.
Yep.
I mean, at this point,
good behavior.
I'm not even comfortable reading those headlines anymore. I just kind of want it to go away.
I agree.
Personally.
I agree. Let's just hope that they stay scandal-free.
Yeah. It's naive for me to think that, but I know that there is some hands in my pocket or yours kind of thing going on.
My only question really here is what the hell happened to Prince Ali? Because a few months ago, when the actual elections were going on, before all the scandal happened, he was the main opponent, right? It was him or Blatter, basically. And he had the support of nearly half the delegates that he needed, and all of a sudden he's getting obliterated by the human rights violation shake and Gianni Infantino, who hasn't been involved in this for very long. He was the general secretary at UEFA, but he wasn't up for the election last time. This has just happened since Platini got suspended.
And he's Platini's guy? I don't know. We all know there's controversy in FIFA, in the process. I'm sure that someone did something to sabotage Prince Ali's campaign.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully find out soon.
Follow the money.
We have to go. But quick shout out to TFC, because the season starts, I believe, next week.
Yeah.
So let's
count on you, Reds.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.